This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about Shrinking, Season 3, Episode 6, entitled Derek's Don't Die. I'm Ryan, that's Adam. This show got sad, and I think it does better when it leans towards a thing it's actually good at in that comfortable zone where it's just sad and everybody's sad about it and you feel sad while watching it, but at the end you're like, that show is good, and so, you know, how do you reconcile that?
And then it's happy, and then they're sad again, and then happy, and then this is a problem, and here we're going to fix it.
I don't like the part you said. The part that I said prior was the part that I liked, but the part that you said
was... You like
was,
just being sad all the time?
At least it picked something. I don't know. Like...
I do like the resolution to happy eventually, like... Oh, we have all of our friends and family conveniently in the same exact area of a street. This is wonderful and happy.
I don't know. You know what? I think we've dug down a little bit throughout this season and we've kind of reached it. The reason I don't like this show sometimes is because there's a lot of unearned or earned happiness, but the way it earned it was so like cringy and weird. Like it just... Every time a character is happy and the way they got there was like four sentences of good advice again, I'm just like, oh, are we all happy? We're all happy, huh?
Doubtful. Cool. Yeah.
It is very much about me. like no one can actually be happy with good advice, actually.
No, I agree. It feels sometimes like... this show, and I think I said it the first episode we did covering this show, was it feels cheesy, like very forced. Cheesy, sure, yeah, but it feels like things are very forced, and whether that be the jokes or the happiness, maybe in this case, but it just feels disingenuous a little bit. I mean, I know it's the feel good happy show and I should just get over that, but
right.
I can't help but feel it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like spot on. Exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this was a good episode.
Oh,
and what does that say
episode.
About me and you and anybody who watched it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. This continues to end its episode on either a really high note or an incredibly concerning note that just makes me want to know more.
Yeah, this low note that the episode ended with, which we'll get to eventually, I preferred. But as we got into the episode, Jimmy wakes up embarrassed after sleeping with Meg. She reveals that she's separated from her husband, something Paul actually doesn't know yet. And Jimmy encourages her immediately to go tell Paul about the separation, but not about them hooking up.
Yeah, because, you know, what I do doesn't matter, but what you do, your dad should know.
Yeah, right. And like, he is running away from his fears, as he has done in the past a few times.
Do you think we're getting a Harrison Ford, Jason Segel standoff in the final episode?
I think we're going to get a Harrison Ford, Jason Segel tough love.
Oh, like, yeah.
Perhaps, I mean, this will also be obviously tied into whatever the Jason Segel, his father, Jeff Daniels thing is.
Yeah, because we got more of that too, where she invited him to her graduation party. Yeah.
Which obviously she was always going to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just, you know, will they have a confrontation or will they have a deep and meaningful conversation about their relationship? Either way, I don't know enough about the Jeff Daniels dad character other than like he's a generically bad in Jason Segel's / Jimmy's mind's dad.
Yeah.
And so whatever happens, I'm just a little concerned it's going to come off as ding, 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 disingenuous, the word you said.
Yeah, so I could go either way on this one. I'm still not sold on who is in the wrong here. Is Jason Segel in the wrong with his relationship with his father, or is Jeff Daniels' character the actual asshole? Like, who is the actual asshole?
Yeah, we don't know that because we don't have any of the context.
I want it. I want it so bad. And something makes me really, really want there to be an absolute explosion at the end of the season with them two, and it doesn't resolve in a happy way.
Ooh,
Yes.
That sounds interesting, because what I feel like is going to happen is, like, you know what, man? Both of us were a little wrong. Gross. Vomit.
Well, tag this episode to come back and prove right or wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, just to finish off the Jimmy and Meg storyline, Meg tells Paul later. Paul is supportive, but all at the same time being like, I make fun of your ex because it's very easy to do so. But like, if the hookup that you had made you feel weird, which is what she said, then I don't know, maybe you still want to be with him, and maybe you still want to fight it out for the kid a little bit, but at the same time, you miss your relationship. So I don't know, give it a go, Meg.
Yeah, I mean, I did not ship Jimmy and Meg as an item. I'm still waiting for Colby Smulders. I'm still waiting to see what happened with that weird girl who laughs at everything in the
nurse
restaurant.
Nurse is gone. Lisa Gilroy, sadly, I think, is not coming back.
Think she's
but what
done?
Happened? Yeah, what happened to Colby Smulders' character is crazy. How she's just disappeared. It's so
I know.
Weird.
I know. It doesn't. I don't like that. Like, you pick it and go. Like, if you pick it back up later in the season, that's fine, but like, it feels unnecessary. You know, I don't know, this I get what they're trying to do here with Meg. It is the a bit of hope that, you know, that we can be with other people, right? But I don't know, man, it's another thing that doesn't feel real. I don't know, am I wrong?
I get it. I just, more so than anything, it's like Colby Smulders, Jason Segel could have been a arc in this season. In fact, it felt like they were setting an arc up, and then they didn't do it. It just is weird. I don't know why would you do that?
Yeah, and they are like so perfectly awkward together, and like, that could have made for some really interesting conversations, I think.
And they stole that
interactions
from us.
Yeah, they did, man. I agree.
They took it from us, and they are to blame. Anyway, Brian and his dad.
Damn you, Brett Goldstein.
Brian has been avoiding telling his very conservative father that him and Charlie had a baby. Jamie forces that issue by calling his dad, and then when Brian is waffling, coming over the top and being like, he had a baby, the baby's already here, he was afraid to tell you. And unexpectedly, the dad is thrilled, and it becomes one of the more like hopeful moments in the episode. And I liked this mostly because I really liked what Jimmy did. I liked that he was just like, I'm going to force it here. I forced it. Good luck. Bye.
Yeah, that feels like it would happen in like our group of friends to some degree. Like, that feels like I can relate to that. Like, I know like your mom enough to be able to call her and be like, hey, Ma.
Ryan
did this.
Yes, right. I'm not going to run away from this. This is what's happening. Let's all put it out on the table and have real life adult based conversations.
Yeah, but I think I really like this because it was clearly like his dad, you know, from Texas, very probably conservative. Maybe that's not his viewpoint. But the fact that he was genuinely like so excited to have a granddaughter and was talking to her via FaceTime, like,
yeah, that was
it
chill.
Was just, it was so sweet, and like, it was such a little moment that man, I hope we get more of that relationship. I hope we get more Brian's storyline too, because he's also really good. And it's kind of a shame that he had such a great last season. I remember it was the last season, right? He had a really good season.
Yes, it's when then, he got the Emmy, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. And then this, he just kind of, I don't know. He's definitely tertiary for sure.
Uh-huh. Maybe I'm misremembering that. But I think, he did the monologue, right? And he got some awards. I don't know.
He got nominated for sure.
And it's honestly just like a pleasure to be nominated you know?
Sure. I don't want to win, but you know.
No, as long as I can go to, I just want to go to the party. I want to have the hors d'oeuvres, you know? It's just.
And the just and the gift bag.
Oh, love the gift bag. Go outside, maybe have half a cigarette during a commercial break. What a dream.
Yeah. So it says right now he is a Emmy nominated actor. So
I knew he was an anemone actor, dude.
He's an Emmy loser.
He's an Emmy, and I wish he was in the season more.
Ah, same, dude.
Also, Sean's here. He's making some progress. A local restaurateur invites him to interview for a sous chef position, which scares him. And Paul pushes him to take the opportunity. This is the main through line of the episode where we haven't talked about it yet, but it's in the title of the episodes where Derek doesn't die. Derek has a health scare, and that sort of pushes everybody forward emotionally, pushes everybody forward into like choosing a thing. In fact, Alice and Jimmy at the end of this episode have like a very on the nose conversation about this, where they were like, and Alice specifically was just like, does it bad that like a large negative life event is what forces you to do something? And like Jimmy responds, I don't think it really matters how you get there. It matters that you got there, which I actually loved that conversation. And I loved the stuff that happened prior to that, which is that every character saw mortality and was like, oh no, I should be better, and then did it. And the cause and effect not being based on like whimsical speeches was good, and I liked it. You know, it's called what's that called? Drama.
Yeah. Substance. That's what it is.
I love substance, dude. But I'm huge into substance.
I loved that Jimmy went to the son's apartment and like said, dude, you need to figure your shit out. Like, yeah. And like kind of had a heart to heart, but almost was like, I mean, it was aggressive, but very needed. Clearly this kid's in a bad spot and just doesn't give a shit. And, you know,
his episode arc was great. Like
I like that.
Being even a shitty kid,
it was cheesy. It was cheesy. Like, I'm here, mom. What do you need? Let me get you a sandwich. Like,
I did actually like that. Like, he really knows how to do is get people sandwiches. But
sandwich.
That is very like he's Derek's son in that moment.
Of course,
and
of course,
I really liked the conversation between Liz and Matt, where he was just like, "It's an hour and a half. He's going to be out." And then he says that he learned that by cornering a nurse, but not in a bad way. And Liz is like, "You cornered a nurse?" And not in a bad way. Like she's never loved him more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think this was the story, not necessarily the series of events that I would have hoped for, but this is the story. I think Derek and oh God, I forget her name already. His wife,
Liz,
Liz. Thank you. Derek and Liz.
No problem, dog.
Needed because of their whole like weird like cheating storyline, and like it felt weird the first half of this season. This brought it back together for me.
It grounded it, and it made it feel a lot more good. Like it's a bad way to describe it, but like it felt better. It just feels much better now. It feels a lot more good. And other things happen. Like Gabby tells her mom that she loves her. Yep. Sean reconnects with his father, which he already sort of did. But he also takes the sous chef invite for that interview. At the same time, Liz is, as we said, struggling, trying to micromanage everything, but is then helped by her son. So like all of those storylines move forward in what feels like an organic way, which is positive, and I liked it.
Yeah, this scene did remind me very much of that really poignant 1999 Adam Sandler film Big Daddy at the end when they're in the courtroom and his dad is talking about how he's going to be a good son and how he's a good son and how he's going to be a great father. And all the guys call his dad, they'll call their dad, like, hey, can I use that when you're done?
Yeah.
That was great.
That part of that movie is good.
It's so good.
It's like all of Click, but happening in one scene.
Oh, Click is also good. So he did this twice, Adam Sandler. Damn the Sandman.
How dare you, Sandman, baby? Anyway, Derek doesn't die. Everything's fine. Derek's don't die. And he got out of surgery, though, and it was a bit scary there for a second. And yeah, no, I didn't want to lose Derek either. He's a great character.
No, he's great. If they lost, if Derek got killed off, this show wouldn't be nearly as good.
Speaking of killed off, at the end of this episode, because Gabby is so enthralled in what's happening in her life and at the hospital, obviously, she doesn't really have time to take a call from Maya. Maya is obviously reaching out, and Gabby has, you know, inserted herself into Maya's life, doing a bit more jimmying than I think she gives herself credit for. And at the same time, when she says no to Maya, she is Maya that is at home, just looking at Instagram and drinking by herself, kind of perpetuating the loneliness that she's been talking about. So that's how the episode ends, like a really sad Maya.
Oh, man.
And again, I was like, good.
Good.
Good. Not yeah, good no, for Maya, and I'm a little afraid for her, but good for that, the story. Yeah, sure.
No, I liked this as well, but you know, I was replaying the scene back in my mind after I saw it, and I'm like, you know, Gabby actually handled, I think the way she handled this was very honest and like, hey, are you sure you're good? Like, I'm at the hospital. I have, you know, and I know Maya, all Maya hears is I have friends and she doesn't. So that's what she's hearing. But like Gabby's said, yeah, I have friends. I'm in the hospital. Everyone's fine. But I just, I'm kind of caught up right now. Can I talk with you later on this week? Like the way she handled it felt genuine,
like her therapist, not her friend though.
Exactly. And when this scene happened and the a cut to black, my girlfriend Hannah, she's in the medical field, and she's like, this is why you don't get close to your patients.
Sure. Yeah. No,
like, that's, oh, it's so true though.
It's a solid point.
Yeah.
And I think one of the points that that moment is making, that there is a downside to this. Sometimes people get pushed off cliffs. Other times you're a little busy and you can't take a call right now with a person who is paying you to be your therapist and relying on you more heavily than perhaps they should be. But either way, again, all of this very interesting.
Oh, of course.
So there's that.
Do you think it would have been better if Gabby didn't pick up the phone?
No. I mean, because I really thought it was important to the story for her to say the words, do you really need to talk, or do you need to talk now, or can this wait till the next session? Which is just a very nice way of saying, like, man, it's not a great time for me. And also reminding you that, again, we have a professional relationship rather than a personal one. And
I mean, she could have not picked up, but she chose to step away and pick up. So I'm hopeful that that keeps Maya on the line a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think Maya is going to do anything drastic. I don't think this show can do that. I don't think it makes sense for this show to do that. Like, the only large death that's happened in the show was off screen.
And that's why I think I just have this feeling we might get a curveball here, and this is gonna cause a chain reaction of maybe Gabby stops being a therapist and pursues her thing once and all, you know, or once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, other Derek's gonna propose to her too, probably.
Yeah, it's just a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and or it gets elongated. Derek proposes, now she's caught up in her own life of being a fiance and getting married and all that, and she has even less time for Maya. I'm a little worried, man. I'm a little worried for Maya.
She could also say no, Gabby, to Derek, which I think is viable.
Interesting.
I don't, and also, by the way, like, saying no could be the best choice. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
And by the way, that's because Gabby is an interesting and, like, character in this season who has truly had an arc. We talked about this last time, but like, she could go either way on that, and I think it makes sense in both ways, which is that's the dynamic of a fully fleshed out character right there.
Yeah, she's complicated and mysterious and interesting, and you know, you never know what she's gonna say. Like that scene with Roy Kent, did not know that she was gonna come on that strong, man.
No, and at the same time, in that tier of interesting, really don't know what they're going to say because they're complicated characters, there aren't that many in this show. And yeah. sometimes a lot like Ted Lasso, like we talked about last week, sometimes you just have to be good with that. And if yeah. you're going to continue to enjoy the show and just let yourself enjoy it, so you just yeah, kind of have to sure. maybe throw the fact to the side that Sean isn't interesting at all this season, Alice isn't interesting at all this season, Paul's being interesting is waxing and waning, Derek isn't here, Coley Smulders isn't here, and there are a lot of weird things going on. But I also do feel like a little thing I kept telling myself while watching Ted Lasso, too. Like, maybe chill, dog. I don't know. Maybe let yourself like this.
Yeah, just enjoy the ride. It's a happy story, generally.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to just balance, like, perhaps these just specific moments that come off as cringe to me aren't made for me, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, wait, am I self-therapying like this show is trying to get me to do? How dare?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's fair to say it's never going to cater to every single person. So for the people who love the show and can't deal with this type of characters being irrelevant, like Sean, you know, that's the filler stuff for the people who do in fact like that cheeky shit, because, you know, I think it's also to garner some sort of, oh, I can relate to this type of problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's the problems that I think are the worst ones narratively are the ones I relate to the least, to be fair.
Of course.
So there is that.
Yeah.
At the same time, this episode was great and it moved everything along, and it got me excited for the graduation. It got me excited for big dramatic moments to come, which I didn't think were viable prior, but now I do.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how the graduation goes. I'm interested to see if we get any sort of Paul moving in this season, or if that's going to go to another season, or if he's going to be written off as a character, which I can't imagine. I can't imagine Harrison Ford being written out of the show.
Unless he's trying to retire, which he might be.
It's possible.
At the same time, what's his name? John Lithgow's 80, and he's just like, let's do it. I'm Dumbledore, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to do an entirely new Harry Potter IP.
But at the same time, I think there's going to be... I hope there is a, not confrontation, but like stern, real talk between Jimmy and Paul. And I hope it helps both of them. And at the same time, I don't know. We're going to get that from that, maybe. From Jimmy and his dad, and from Gabby, Derek / Gabby in her life. And they're really, those are the ones. Those are the scenes we're waiting for.
Yeah. 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 I am intrigued. Like you said, it's a renewed focus on how this is going to wrap up.
Renewed focus, dude. That's a little bit of corpo, and I love it.
Yeah, no kidding. We both are exposed to that too much.
It's too many, dude. But yeah, no, you're right. It's a renewed focus, and I hope they align in the future. Anyway, my point is that you can find us on the internet talking about more shows. At the same time as this, we'll probably do a full episode or full season recap of Paradise in the future. We were talking about it before we started recording, and we're both caught up or getting caught up on that. And the second season's like really good. So really looking forward to doing a full deep dive there. At the same time, Project Hail Mary comes out next week. We're all going to see it as a group on the 20th, so we'll probably do a little show about that.
Holy moly, I'm excited for that.
And then we'll be able to, you know, finish out Shrinking. So a lot of cool stuff coming up here, and the way to see or know when we're doing all that is by following us on the internet, the ways in which Adam is about to describe to you in detail.
You can get at us at our Patreon. That's the best place to get at us because it has everything we've ever done, including Patreon exclusives. It's at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For $1 or more a month, you can get everything early, ad-free, some exclusives in there. And we read your name out at the end of every episode. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, 6'7", Ryan, Force Adam to Watch the Pit, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butternickels, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and It's Not Eggnog Season Anymore. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butternickels, for being our $5 a month tier patrons. We appreciate all of you and what you donate for this podcast. It's very cool. You can also get at us on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast. And we're very active over there on Threads. It's a very cool community.
You're tons using of the royal they, but it's you for sure.
They. We are they are we. We are all That's together.
Nope.
Or the Beatles said something along those lines, but
something like that. Yeah.
I'm over on Threads. It's incredibly active with movie and TVs. Ryan, I don't know if you saw the final numbers, but I posted something about Arrival and I got 3,500 likes and what like 400 comments and like 60 reposts and a bunch of shares. So thank you if any of you are listening to this for doing that.
Yeah, cool. I hope that that made at least one person be like, I should listen to the podcast.
Yeah, we got a few follows from it.
That's great. I gotta look at the analytics next week, but like, you know, this is a march to the top of the mountain where it's going to actually convert people to listen to the show, hopefully.
I just appreciate the interaction. It's very cool, and like Ryan says, if we got one person, I'm just gonna celebrate that because it's very cool.
What a win. By the way, we are like halfway through this season of Shrinking. Right?
Yes.
This is episode 6. There are 11 episodes.
Oh,
what is going to happen in the next 5 episodes? That feels like so many episodes.
That does feel like a lot. I didn't realize that. Oh, wait, no. I did know that this one had more than 10. That's right. I made a comment about it. I'm like, dang, they actually gave us more. I just hope we get some resolution to some stuff. I hope we get a killer ending with Jimmy and his dad. Something going on there. I hope we get Maya not offing herself. That would be such a bummer, although I'm really scared about it.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, ultimately, I think the last episode is going to be everyone in the backyard at night with tiki torches and fairy lights everywhere, drinking and smiling and being happy, because that's what this inevitably gets to, which I'm not sad about. I just enjoy the journey, you know?
Yeah, I'm a little sad about it.
Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.